There we go. It was my birthday yesterday, and we had decided we weren't going to do a dog for a while, but then it just got in my heart, and I was like, Lord, I really want a dog, and looked at several different ones, and nothing panned out. Yesterday, I got a dog for my birthday. That's my other praise report, yes, and he is so cute. He's adorable. So let's get on to tithes and offering today. This is the last part in this series, and this is a part of the Christmas story that a lot of people forget about, but it's one of my favorites. We've been talking throughout the Christmas story, different areas that people have brought as their gift to the Lord. And the first one was Mary, and does anyone remember her gift? Started with a T. Who said it? Trust. Yes, trust was her gift. And then we had Joseph. And does anyone remember Joseph's gift? It starts with an O. Obedience. So we had trust for Mary, obedience for Joseph. Then we saw the wise men, and what was their gift? Starts with P. I heard over there, Lacey's at you. Perseverance. That quiet little voice over there. Perseverance. And then last week we saw with the shepherds were wonder. How many people looked at their thing at life differently last week after you realized that we should have wonder, right? It should be amazing the things that God is doing, right? Amen. And today is the final one. And each of these things have to do with our finances. When you stop and look, you have to trust the Lord with your finances, right? And some people, the biggest area of trust is learning how to tithe. One of my best friends in college, I remember when I first met her, she said, well, I don't have to tithe. It's not a big deal. And I was like, girl, you got to tithe, okay? That's the blessing, right? It's the 10%. She said, well, they don't really talk about the New Testament. And I said, hello? They were all Jews. Why would they need to talk about it? It was what they did. She goes, oh. Well, I didn't think. I said, I dare you to tithe. Try tithing for a month and then come back to me and tell me if tithing is important, right? Well, of course, we all know she tried it for a month, and God is so faithful when people start tithing, right? Like miracles. She's like, oh, my word, I got this check out of nowhere. We were in Bible college, so checks in the mail, unexpected. That was a blessing, okay? And she was so excited, and she's like, all these things are happening. I'm like, revelation, you started tithing. She goes, I did. I'm like, yes, it's so powerful. Why? Because it tells us in Malachi that it separates you from the world, right? Your 10% giving it to the Lord blesses the 90. And I'm telling you, the 90 goes beyond 90. Sometimes it goes beyond 100%, right? It just, God does amazing things. So there's the area of trust. Okay. There we go. Obedience, right? We need to obey when the Lord says to do something in our finances. And this can be a tough one. Remember when Steve and I were newly married and the Lord told us, sew a whole check from his work. I was just working like small jobs. I didn't really have a job, right? But we did it. And the Lord blessed us with this amazing rental house that had been fully refurnished. Amen? We did it again, and we found our house that we live in. I mean, God is good when you listen. I'm not saying go tithe your whole check. I'm just saying listen to the Lord. Amen? He has things in store for us, but he needs to see that we'll have obedient hearts, right? Then we need to persevere. We need to stick with it. Don't give up, right? And then wonder. When God does something in your finances, you should just go, whoa, Dad, you are so cool, right? Like a child would do to their parent. They have the wonder of, I mean, I'm sure most of you, like, at Christmas Day can remember or knew even this last Christmas, the wonder of kids opening gifts and their big eyes of, oh, well, you know what? Your Heavenly Father wants to see that out of you. You are his kids, no matter how old you are. Amen? And then we'll talk about today. Now, this gift is an amazing gift. It's a gift of service. And these are two people that we don't often hear about, but it's Simeon and Anna. And they were in the temple. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Okay, there's something different right there. Okay, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. How did he get here? By the Spirit, right? He came in into by the Spirit. And when the parents brought the Christ child to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed him. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the faces of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at all these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined to be the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which has been spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was great of age and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity with this woman, this woman was a widow for about 84 years, who had not departed from the temple, but served God with fasting and praying night and day. And coming in at that instant, this is not a coincidence, at that instant, I lost my place. Oh, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. So they came in to do what was customary when you bring forth a male child, the firstborn. You come in and you bring in a sacrifice, right? Because God said, all the firstborn are mine. Amen? And so they come into the temple, and who's waiting? God had brought in two people that were servants of his, two people that served him with all their hearts. Amen? Simeon and Anna. And a lot of times we forget about the importance of serving the Lord, however he calls you to serve him. Amen? For Anna, she was a prophetess. She served the Lord in the temple through prophecy, speaking into the lives of others. We see that Simeon was a righteous and a devout man who spent time in the in the temple. We don't really know exactly what his position was, but we know he spent time in the temple. And you may be sitting there going, well, God hasn't called me to full-time ministry. You may be right, but now I want you to go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm going to show you something. As we go into this next year, God wants us to trust him. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to persevere. He wants us to be filled with wonder, but he's also calling us to service. And sometimes people look at serving the Lord and they only see the quote-unquote ministries that happen inside the church. But it goes beyond that. Amen? Let's look at verse 10. Let's go back to 8. And above all these things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover over a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God provides. And in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What is he saying? He's saying God has given each one of you a gift to serve. He hasn't called everyone to be pastors. He hasn't called everyone to be evangelists. He hasn't called everyone to be worship leaders. He hasn't called everyone to the same job, because if everyone did the same job, everything wouldn't get done. One job is not greater than another. Are you listening to me? He might call you to be the best businessman that's out there. It might be the best store clerk that's out there. It might be the best pest control technician that's out there. It might be the best electrical engineer that's out there. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, do it with all your heart as unto him. Amen? But don't stop there. Be looking for the other gifts that he's given you. You can be working a full-time job and God say, hey, I want you to go pray with that person. Yes, sir. And you go over and pray, you lay hands, you rock their world, and you change their world for the Lord. Amen? That is a ministry gift. That is serving the Lord. You may say, well, I don't have opportunities to do that or do this, but I can bring my tithes and offerings, and I've got extra I can give. You are serving the Lord with your finances. all of these things are so, you might say, well, I'm just a kid. I'm just a kid. What can I do? Well, Everly the other day was sharing with me, she prays for a lot of her friends at school. That's a gift of serving your friends. Amen? Amen? We can't belittle the gifts that we have and say, well, mine's not as great as hers. I'll tell you what. Anybody ever stubbed their pinky toe before? I don't care how great the rest of your body is doing. When you can't put your foot into a shoe, everything changes. Amen? So God loves pinky toes in the family of God. And they're important, just as important as the mouth, just as important as the ears. It makes a difference. Amen? So don't belittle your gift and say, well, it's just this. No. Whenever you serve someone else, you are doing it as unto the Lord. And you may think, what does this have to do with tithes and offerings? Everything. Because we as a church, we don't bottle everything up. That becomes stagnant, and it's wasteful in the kingdom of God. We give. When you give, we give. When you tithe, our church tithes off of your tithes. Why would we do that? Because we want the flow to keep going. Amen? And lives are being touched and changed all around the world through missions. The lives of children were touched this year to have toys that they didn't have. Amen. Families were touched to see the love of God, even in the midst of some of the hardest times that they could go through. All because you serve the Lord with your finances. Powerful. It's so powerful. And as we go into this next year, ask the Lord, what are the gifts you've given me? And are there gifts that I haven't even used yet? I think there are gifts inside of you you haven't even used yet that God is saying, 2026, I'm calling them out of you. And then be trusting him, be obedient, persevere, be filled with wonder at the things he does as you serve him. Amen? Yeah. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much. Again, a story we've all heard a million times of your birth, but you show us new things when we're looking for it. I just praise you, Father, today that we would have hearts like Simeon and Anna, Father. We would listen to your Holy Spirit and be where we're supposed to be at the right moment. That when you tell us to give, maybe it's we're standing behind somebody in line at a grocery store and you say, pay for their bill. That we don't wait. We don't wonder. We just, yes, sir, and we pay. We sow a seed into their lives. Or maybe, Father, you're asking us to do something even bigger. Hey, give this offering in church or give toward this ministry. That we would sow our seeds, that we would serve you with our finances, God. And that it would bless your heart so much. Because, God, we know that you are faithful, that when we sow our seeds, we will reap a harvest that we cannot contain. Like you said in Malachi, it will just overflow. And Father, I praise you today for every seed that is sown. Bless the sower. I pray for a 100-fold harvest return. I pray this week, God, that there would be seeds that come in that they did not expect, and they would bring the miraculous reports to us next week, and that praise and glory would go forth, that you would receive all the glory for the miracle finances this week. And we just praise you, Father. We end this year, 2025, in the black. Not lacking and not missing anything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I just want to see, we've been praying over this all month. Can you raise your hand if you have money still in your account to go into 2026? Look around you. Is God awesome or what? Praise the Lord. Woo, let's give him a praise. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, the Lord was reminding me while we were worshiping, or while Shelley was speaking, actually, that this is a dance floor. This is a dance studio. So if you feel like this, you know, before the Lord, you know, it's what it's for, right? I think in heaven there's some dancing going on. And how many know you don't have to know how to dance, right? And Pastor Shelley is saying, Steve, the kids need to dance their way out to class. So we're going to dismiss the kids this morning. Amen. Welcome, Jonathan and Lee. Today too. We love you guys. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So remember to dance. Amen. What did David say? I know you guys were sharing, and my family went and saw the new David movie. And it's, I guess, outselling Zootopia and what's the other kid, SpongeBob. It's outselling them all. And it's an amazing movie, right? And my sons, my grown-up sons, came home, their tears, you know, and they're like, Dad, it was so awesome. It was so, you got to come see it now, Dad. You got to come with us now. We will, right? But one of David's big things, right, is dancing, right? And if you think that's, you know, his wife got offended at him for being so outspoken and undignified. Well, guess what he said? If you think this is undignified, just wait till tomorrow, right? Now, that's the heart we got to have, right? The heart of David, rejoicing and praising before the Lord and just not caring what other people think about it. How many know this world, if you haven't noticed, doesn't really care what you think about what they're doing? We were at the hospital this past week, and honestly, Mom, I did not expect to see you this morning. My faith was not there for that because of my brother. My brother lives with my mom right now, and he's, you know, when your adult son is at home and having health challenges. So just you being here tells me something's happening awesome that you don't need to be there with him, right? And so, but just stretch your hands out toward my mom right now. And Father, we just speak your strength and blessing over Bev. I'll call you Bev because I'm your pastor too, right? But your strength over Bev and Dan and Vance, the joy of the Lord. I know I'm over there frequently, Randy is too, and all of us family, and there's a lot of laughter that goes on. Nothing will touch the laughter, right, and the joy, yeah, and the peace, and the supernatural presence of God that transcends medical reports and all these kind of things. By the stripes of Jesus, we thank you that Vance is healed, and you're strengthening Mom. You're strengthening Dad. You're strengthening Vance and healing them supernaturally. We thank you for all the things you've already done. And like we just said, he's not done yet.
He's not done yet. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, he's not done yet. It, don't get down about the situation, because guess why? He's not done yet. Somebody say, he's not done yet. Hallelujah. But we're at the hospital talking again about how the world says, we don't care what you think. At the hospital now. Praise God for doctors. There's some good doctors and great nurses. But there's some kooky stuff. I mean, you go in the hospital, you better be praying in tongues, man. Because there's some straight up evil things going on at hospitals. They have signs on the doors that say, we don't care what gender you are, to come into the... At the hospital. If anybody should know, now I'm not a doctor, I don't play one on TV, but if anyone should know the difference between male and female, you would think the hospital would. I mean, take a blood test. There's technology nowadays where, you know, when women are pregnant, that they can now just take a blood test and tell if it's a boy or a girl. And if you're a woman and you have boy blood in there, it means you're pregnant with a boy. Doesn't mean you're both. The point being, church, all right, if the world is making up that kind of nonsense and not caring about it, why should you care what they think about your faith? You have the truth on the inside of you, man. You have the only thing that's going to save them. On the inside of you, somebody say, I don't care. I don't care anymore. Well, really, we have to get to that point. And it doesn't mean we don't like people or we don't, you know, hate on people. But no, we're here to shine bright for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords without shame, without embarrassment. Because I've been telling, you know, we've had some challenges this past week that could, you know, when the bombs are hitting close to home, right? And you just have to get a hold of yourself, look yourself in the mirror, keep the word going, have the word going in your eyes and ears, coming out your mouth. Because otherwise, stuff just gets on your heart and it weighs you down. And you just got to, Shelly had to tell me on the phone, I'm still feeling it. But Shelly had called me on the phone. And I'm driving around doing my...
It's my brother, you know. And I'm driving around. I'm doing my day gig, you know. And even listening to minister and, you know, listening to things is awesome. But she reminded me, you have to say something. It's not enough to hear it. Right? Because she's gone through the same thing and with her family and her sister and all these kind of things. And she's like, you have to shout the praises. She said, right now with me, shout, hallelujah! She goes, I don't care if you're all by it. And she's shouting in there. I'm like, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But that's what it takes. You have to shout louder than the fear and the worry and the pressure. It's pressure. That's what Miss Gloria was talking. I watch Faith School every Saturday on the Victory app. And Gloria Copeland, who's, you know, we all know we're praying for her too. You know, she's in her 80s and has health challenges. But man, the word has been spoken. And I know Miss Gloria is still very much an intercessor, even though she's not out front. She is very much interceding and praying and involved. But the teaching she's done over the years, oh my goodness. And I was watching her on Saturday morning, and she said the word disease has the term dis-ease in it. And that's exactly what the devil tries to do with sickness, is take your peace. Right? So somebody just say, hallelujah! And that was the point, is get busy praising God. I started reading, and this was in no connection with what's going on with the Vance and all that. And praise God, you can't tell Vance to stay down. He laughs, he's giggling and all this kind of stuff, right? But I ordered Dr. Avery Jackson's book, The God Prescription. Oh, I've just gotten into the introduction, and it is so powerful. But he's a neurosurgeon, a brain surgeon, and a spirit-filled believer who goes to Bishop Keith Butler's church in Detroit. We'll get to the message. It's all part of the message. But he was talking about how just things that happen in your brain, if you worry, if you are into fear and meditating and thinking about, he says something to do with the frontal lobes of the brain. And he was talking about how when you start praising God out loud, the things that get released in your body go to work against whatever's trying to come against you. Chemically. Now, somebody just say, hallelujah! I don't care what the devil's trying to do. Hallelujah! I don't care what he's trying to do. The games... I had to tell him, listen, I'm not playing your games. I'm not playing your stupid games. Hallelujah! Jesus is Lord. Amen. And I mean, you have to be determined about it, because it comes back again. The other night, I was laying in bed. It's tried to come on me when you're trying to go to sleep, right? And it's like the Lord reminded me, you don't have to let anything in your house that you don't want in your house. Somebody say, turn the TV off if that's what it is, or turn the news off if that's what it is. You can turn the worry off. I told my brother the other day, we're encouraging him and praying with him, and I said, Vance, do not use the C word in this house. You use the H word, I'm healed. I said, the C word to you, Vance, it might as well be the F word. Cuss word. Do not use that. It's a curse word. You say healed. Amen. It's not, somebody say, I'm not letting that in my house. My house. My tent. Not going to do it. Amen. There's only room for one king. Amen. Isn't God good? And he's faithful, and we trust him. Bill Winston calls it the believer's walk of faith. Whose walk of faith? The believer's walk of faith. But it is definitely a walk of faith. Intentional. Amen. This isn't, you know, Kool-Aid and graham cracker Christianity. I heard my pastor back in the day, Larry Huck, when I was with them back in the 90s, he would say, this is not the love boat. This is a battleship. Right? Amen. Glory to God. He would say, God didn't say put on the tutu of God. He said put on the armor. Why would you need armor? Because there's an enemy. And isn't that another lie of the world? There ain't no enemies. Everybody's just by nature good. They're just people that are oppressed by people like you. Well, that's the same lie the devil made up himself. Lucifer, the archangel. You know what? I'm just oppressed in my job as archangel. God is holding me down. It's the same stupid lie. Hallelujah. Somebody say, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! And then the dance floor. Right? Turn your kitchen into a dance floor. That's what I think it was. Wigglesworth or somebody would start the day with a dance. He would get out of his bed and just dance. Am I right, Mr. Jim? Was it Wigglesworth? Yeah. Wiggle. Get ready to wiggle. Just do something silly in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And who cares? Amen. Isn't that what the world is saying? Who cares? Hallelujah. So we're gonna just, carry on with Jesus. Somebody say carry on, right? Speaking of carrying on, we've got a message here, but that's a lot of it because it has everything to do with this, right? This is part 3 of a trilogy called Christ in You, and this is going to be a big word for our church, moving forward into 26. I love hearing prophetic messages for the new year, and we always have a vision day on a Sunday for the first part of the year. Next Sunday, I want to have a healing service. So we're going to teach and minister on healing next week. So if you know of anybody who needs healing in their body, bring them, invite them. And we're just going to come and we're going to receive healing from God. And that's, the door's always open every week. But we're going to specifically focus next week, start the year off, with a healing service. Kick the devil in the chops. Amen. Right? Yep. And then the following Sunday will be Vision Day. And we'll talk about prophetic words for the year from Brother Copeland, from Hank Kuhneman, from, Joseph Z. There's so many that I just love to plug into. And then we'll share what God has got. I love to hear what Jesse's got going. I love, and just start the day off, start the year off with a bang. Glory be to God. Right? Amen. So that's what the coming attractions. But today, we want to finish up, and we got to get moving on this because there's a lot to get to. But if you want to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 25, somebody say, Christ in you. Right? And the image there on the screen of Mary on the donkey and Joseph, and they're coming into Bethlehem. And literally, in that moment, Mary could say, it's Christ in me, literally. Right? And she was about to give birth to the Savior of the world. Glory to God forevermore. In a dark time. So don't ever think that Jesus was born, at the North Pole. Or, in Maui. Right? He was born in a dark time, in a dark place. Right? He was sent. The Father literally sent himself in the form of a man to save the world, right? So that's why even at Christmas time when we're going through these challenges, it's all the more a reminder that, hey, listen, that's why I do celebrate. I don't say something like, well, I'm not going to celebrate Christmas this year because... No. All the more reason. I was up before the sunrise turning on the Christmas lights outside. So I could see them in my backyard. And so everyone else could see them. Turn the light on. Keep the light. That's what Hanukkah is all about. Right? Let the light shine. Amen. And let's get to this message here, right? Hallelujah. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Why was that? Because back then, she could have been stoned for that. But Joseph, being a just man, wanted to do the honorable thing and didn't want her, you know, he wanted to handle this with grace. Amen. What, did God choose the right man to be Jesus' earth dad? Oh, yeah. Right? But while he thought about these things, talk about going to bed with something on your mind, right? Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. A dream. Somebody say a dream. Did you know God speaks to us sometimes in dreams and visions? But let me tell you something, church. If you don't know what the Bible says, you won't know if it is from God. Because there's some goofy dreams and visions that people come up with. And they'll say, well, I don't need to read the Bible. I have dreams and visions. Then you're nuts. That's how false religions begin. And nutty things happen. But if you're in this Bible, if you're in this Bible, if you're in this book, God will show you things that will knock your socks off, man. Hallelujah, right? The Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her, somebody say conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Somebody say, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Now that was a step of faith, right? And yet he had the confidence to do it because he had a word from God. But it was still a step of faith for him to do this, right? And he did not know her. They didn't have, you know, intimate relationship, sexual relationship, obviously, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you have your notes, for the sake of time, we're gonna move down to number C there, because that's really where we want to get to today. Because the word that the Lord gave me this year for the Christmas season was Christ in you. And he gave me an acronym for Christ. And C, meaning, you know, and we're talking about, you know, Christ also means the anointed one. It means the anointing of God, right? Creflo, I love, taught one year. I saw him in person in Portland years ago. And he taught out of Isaiah, I think it is. But he talked about the anointing of God being the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Right? So Christ means anointed. It's not Jesus' last name or a cuss word. Right? It means anointed and anointing. Amen? So, and we talk about the anointing oil is used for the menorah, for the candles to keep burning and all this kind of thing. So there's a lot of symbolism in the body of Christ, but it's the anointing of God, the presence of God in our lives. Amen? And it requires the anointing. If we want to see anything supernatural happen, it's going to require the anointing of God to do it. Amen? Glory to God forevermore. Amen. So, but Psalm 119 says this. Before we go there, you know, when you receive Jesus in your heart, you're receiving Christ. So him literally living on the inside of you. That's why you can have hope in the face of things that seem hopeless. You can have strength when times seem like they're just overwhelming in the natural. That's what Dr. Avery Jackson brings up too, is he said so many physicians just focus on the physical, right? But he said, really, we are a tripart person, spirit, soul, and body, and we have to attend to all of those things, because whatever your body is feeling can be impacted by what the condition you are spiritually, or in the condition of your soul, your mind, perception. He said he said so many people just want to focus on the worst case scenario when they hear a medical report, and he said that's exactly not what you should do. You should come back to the Word of God and begin to confess it and begin to praise God, because immediately the Word goes to work on such things and even releases chemicals in your own body that go to war against things that are coming against you. This is remarkable. God designed, somebody say, God designed me. He put everything I need in my body, in my spirit, in my soul. But we have to remember, spirit, soul, body, not body, soul, spirit. You hear that in the world too. Body, mind, spirit. No, no, no. Spirit, soul, body. The flesh just follows around what you're doing in the spirit. Amen. Glory to God. And it needs to be put in its place. Time to time, right? But we want to focus on this portion, Psalm 119 and Colossians 1. They're in your notes there. But verse 130, this is where I felt led to this morning. I was, you know, Shelly's birthday yesterday, and it was a puppy miracle. I mean, really, it was. Our dog passed, you know, we had to put him down over the summer. It was, you know, sad, you know, in the natural. We rejoiced that we know he's in heaven. My dog goes to heaven. I know that, no question. So does yours if you have pets that you miss, right? But a few months later, my family starts talking about wanting another dog, and my wife, and I, she's the one that's home the most with us. I'm like, if you want this, I'll believe with you for it. I'll be happy. How many men can say amen to this? I'll be happy either way, right? As long as you're happy, I'll be happy either way, right? So this kept coming up. And, you know, it's her birthday yesterday, and she still pulls something up on the laptop, and, hey, there's this guy in Tigard that has two golden doodles. Puppies. And I said, well, let's go get your coat. Let's go for a drive, you know? And the money was there. It wasn't like we're going into Hawk or something for a dog, right? So we drive out there, and she gets this puppy. We got him, brought him home, and he's been with us not even 24 hours today. Not even 24 hours. And he's about 6-7 weeks old. And you know, we celebrated her birthday all day, and so I put off coming to these notes, which I pretty much knew where we were going this morning, but it got late, and I'm like, ah, man, I'm just kind of hitting my head against the wall, like, Lord, what are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing? And finally, I decided I just need to sleep on this, and he does that often, right? Well, about 5:42 this morning, little Duke, his name's Duke. Little Duke aroused me from my sleep like the angel of the Lord. And you know what? As soon as I sat down at the laptop, it all just rolled out. And I was like, good boy, Duke, good boy. Yeah, yes, amen. Let's look at this now, okay? Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Somebody say light. And the word entrance. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And I want to reiterate here the word that the Lord gave me, the acronym for Christ: callings, healings, instructions, strategies, territories. Amen. The anointing of God is on the inside of you to bring you callings for your life, to bring you healings in your life, to bring... what was the R again? Revelations to your life, to bring instructions, to bring strategies and territories for you to reign and rule over. That's the power of the anointing of God ruling and reigning inside of your heart. Amen? Just something to meditate on. But the Lord brought me back to that anointing. Oil produces light. In a lamp, it produces light. So we got it. Somebody say, we got to stay lit. Stay full of the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Why? Because other people's lives are at stake. There's a lot of whole world out there that's on their way to hell, man. And they need to see the anointing of God. They need to see the light, man. You'd be surprised. I don't know if anybody can testify, but I'm surprised sometimes at people that it does not offend. When something comes out of me that's faith, and they're like drawn to it. I'm like, man, I thought you'd have slapped me for saying that. You just don't know. And other people that you're shocked it did offend them. somebody to say, I don't care. I'm going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. If you don't want to be rescued, stay in the water. Ask the people of Noah's time how that went. Come on, right? Hallelujah. The entrance of your words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. How can the devil can make simple things so complicated? Have you noticed? Religion complicates something that is very, very simple. There's a sin problem. There's a Savior. And through him, there's salvation. Period. Religion tries to make it how you yourself can fix yourself. Spin enough beads, climb enough stairs, pass out enough flyers, make sure your karma is in the right category. All these nutty things. The devil is a psycho, man.
He's a liar.
He's a liar. Yeah. The Islam thing is not just a religion, man. It's a demonic force in this planet. It's a governmental system. And we need to stand up for Jesus and just be truthful about such things. The devil complicates everything. Do you really think God would tell somebody, if they don't line up with me, go kill them? That's not at all. Send your children with bombs strapped to them. No. That sounds like the devil, doesn't it? Hate people because they don't believe like you. No. Yeah, amen. The entrance of your word giveth light. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But I want to look at some of these words. The word entrance means words. I'm just going to read some of these words here, okay? So opening, unfolding, entrance. I don't know why I put that twice, but doorway. How many know Jesus is the doorway? Yep. And let me tell you this, church. You are a doorway. What are you letting in and what are you keeping out? This whole thing about borders being wide open, that's nonsense. Because why? Because crime, because people that want to hurt other people. Public safety. Another guy passed me this morning going like 110 in a beat up BMW with no license plate. Same thing last night on the way to get the dog, another car. 2 years old license, 2023 plates, flew by me, barely missed me. Nuts, right? This is demonic, lawless stuff. People that have come in because there's no borders in many cases. Right? People don't want to be afraid of ICE and all these people. Just be a citizen. Right? Do it. Somebody say, do it right. And God's kingdom is the same way. The only way in is if you're a citizen. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say, I am the door of my own life. I decide what comes in and what stays out. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. And we of course know Jesus Christ says he is the door. The door to heaven, the door to God, right? There is no other way. The entrance of your words give us light. The word words, look at this. The entrance of your words. Somebody say his words, right? It means a word. It means advice. It means answer. It means book. It means business, case, commandment. I mean, these are just things to meditate on, right? Confer, counsel, decree, glory, judgment, language, message, power, promise, provision, purpose, report. I mean, when you get a bad medical report, you better know what this report says. Because that might be a fact. This is the truth. Did you get that? The medical report might be a fact, but this is the truth. Amen. That's right. That's what I just did the other day. Thank you. You guys did a great job. We appreciate you so much. He didn't understand why I wasn't just breaking down bawling in front of him. It's like, nope, not going to do that. Not going to do that. Why? Because we have a higher authority. What does God? I love the word answer. If something comes against you in your life, you need to know what the answer to that thing is. And the only way you know it is if we're spending time. Shelley talked about reading the Bible, spending time in the Word every day. You're getting the answer on the inside of you. There was a doctor I listened to that I may share some stuff next week. He was sharing on Flashpoint last night, I think, or the other night. Medical doctor. Some of you might have heard this. It's amazing stuff. He was talking about prevention of sickness. And he was talking about just doing a spritz in your nose and in the back of your throat twice a day, whether you're sick or not, will help prevent sick. That's what we're talking about. Be in this Word every day, and it will be a preventative force. And when something does come up, you know the answer already. It's like you studied for the test. I don't know if any of you have ever had a test, and you were like, oh, my word, I have no idea. And it's like an essay answer, like they want a paragraph. At least give me A, B, C, D, you know. Oh, glory to God. The entrance of your words giveth light. What's God's report saying? What's his sentence? Some things feel like a death sentence. What you need to do is give the sentence from Almighty God. How many know death actually has a death sentence? It's in the book. So you just talk back to it. Oh, no, you don't, in the name of Jesus Christ. You're the one that's going to die. And I'm not allowing you in my thoughts. I'm not going to meditate on you one more second. I'm actually going to do a little dance. Come on, right? It means a sign. It means a song. I mean, start praising God, singing. The scripture says God sings over us. Hallelujah. But see, I think a lot of us in the church are waiting for him to do something. How many know he's already done something? Now he's looking for my faith and listening. And disease and sickness and issues are also listening for your response. Do not dare agree with him. Don't just embrace it. It's my cross. I just need to embrace this. It's my cross. That's a lie from the pit of hell, man. Come on, right? It means speech, it means thought, tidings, it means work. I mean, these are amazing things to think about. The word light means, I love this, to be or become light, to shine, to become bright. Oh, it feels like it's getting darker and darker, Pastor Steve. That's why this time of year it gets dark so early. That's why Hanukkah is this time of year and Christmas is this time of the year. That's why even those who would say Christmas is a pagan holiday and how dare you put a tree in your house. No, no, you can change that. You can say, no, the tree reminds me that it's not about the gift under the tree. It's about the gift that hung on the tree. And I put a star on top of the tree and the lights on the tree all remind me of Jesus. And I celebrate his love and his life. And that's why I let it shine in the face of darkness. In the darkest time of the year, I'm going to shine bright. Don't you love it? To be or become light, to shine, to become bright, be illuminated, become lighted up, to give light, to kindle. I love that. To lighten, to kindle. That means I have some work to do. I have to help keep myself lit. I've got to keep the oil coming in. I've got to fan the flame. How do you do that? Stay in the Word, be in praise and prayer, pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't be walking in disobedience to God in any known area of my life. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. And the word lighten, I love that. Somebody just say this, lighten up. Lighten up. That's what Jesus comes to do, isn't it? Like, that's what I was telling my mom the other day. I was like, you know, Mom, yeah, I've been, or Shelly, maybe, I don't remember which one of you, maybe both of you. I said, yeah, I'm feeling this, but I just don't want Jesus to all of a sudden appear in the rapture, which he could any moment, and get right in my face and saying, why the long face, son? Oh, hallelujah. I mean, that brings it home for me. Amen? And the word understanding, when it says, it giveth understanding. I love these words because they remind me of light entering. When it says understanding, when it says entrance, when it says light, these kind of words, right? Means to perceive. Have you ever said the words, man, that suddenly it just dawned on me? We have to have our ears open to him so we can perceive his thoughts. You know what he's been telling me a lot lately about this? I'm just using this particular situation. All you need to do is stand another day. You don't need to think about next week, next year. All you need to do, the other day, he was like, your brother just needs a chair. He just needs one of those power chairs to help him stand up. Amen. And we had one. Amen. And he said, son, that's all you need to think about today. Go see your brother, bring him the chair. Don't be stressing about next week, next year, the medical stuff. Just take him the chair and love on him. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's more about just live in the now. Yes, now faith is. Yes. Glory to God. And he's right there with us. He's right, and that's the word that Vance kept getting in his prayer time was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Steve, I know Jesus is with me in the fire. Jesus is with me in the fire. I know he's with me. Glory to God, right? To perceive, to discern, to observe, to distinguish, insight, teaching, being attentive, considering diligently, instructions, to regard his words. All these things are so important. All these things are so important in the living with Christ on the inside of us. Because we can say we're saved, but is he Lord? Right? If he's Lord, then we have an ongoing relationship with him. We've been watching that movie, Fiddler on the Roof, lately. I love that movie. And I forget the main character's name. But he talks to God, and he'll like look up at God like, I know we're your chosen people, but maybe once in a while you could choose somebody else. But he's just a genuine heart of gold guy, loves God, Jewish man, but absolutely zero knowledge of the Bible. And there's a lot of Christians that are like that. I heard a football coach say this the other day, called him the big man. You know, people, I love these kids that get up there and they just want to talk about Jesus when they're testifying about they won, all this kind of thing. Well, this guy gets up, he goes, yeah, well, thank the big guy. Come on, really? I mean, I know what you mean, but get in your Bible and find out. I know you know your playbook. How many know this is a much more important playbook to know? Hallelujah. And it's really not complicated. But there's things that he wants us to perceive, to discern, to observe, to distinguish. There's insights, there's teaching. He needs my attention. He needs my diligence. He has instructions for me, and I need to regard his word. Very, very important, right? If I'm not doing that, and then you're like the guy in Fiddler on the Roof. Eh. Cancer? Eh. Can't pay the bills? Eh. Another more Democrats? Eh. I mean, come on, right? We have to give him our attention diligently every day. I got to finish this up in about 10 minutes, okay? You can just ponder these things, right? But Colossians 1, 26 and 27 says this. Even the mystery, somebody say mystery, right? Which hath been hid, somebody say hid, right? From ages and from generations, but now, somebody say now. Right? Is made manifest, say manifest, right? To his saints, somebody say, that's me. Don't call yourself a sinner if you're born again. You're a saint. You're a saint of God. To whom God would make known, somebody say, make known. What is the glory? Say the glory of this mystery, say mystery, right? Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Somebody say, Christ in me. The hope of glory. Somebody say, the hope. The hope of glory, right? And the word mystery means hidden thing, secret. There's so many Christians that live in this world. It's just a mystery to me what God must be doing. Why did he put this on me? I remember a lady a long time ago on a radio show, Christian music station, she called in and said, I just want to give God thanks that he put leukemia on me to teach me some great lesson. I don't quite know what it is, but it's a mystery. No, that's not what we're talking about here, right? No, it shouldn't. Somebody say it shouldn't. He shouldn't be a mystery to you. Right? I mean, when I got married to Shelly, we know each other. Now, there's still things I'm learning about her. And she likes to know things about me that maybe I'm not comfortable telling her. But she wants to know. How are you feeling today? Give me more information. I need more information. And that's how we are with Jesus, right? It's like we have no excuse to say, I don't know. In the pest control industry, in our industry out there, they tell us in training, never tell a customer, I don't know. Right? Call someone. Get some help. Get some backup. One guy in sales told me this. He was great. He said, if ever anyone asks you something that you don't know, don't act like you know it. Just say, you know what? I'll get back to you on that. Amen. Somebody say, dig deeper. Dig deeper, right? It's mystery, hidden things, secret, not obvious to the understanding. The secret, I love, the secret counsels which govern God in dealing with the righteous, here we go, which are hidden from ungodly and wicked men, but plain to the godly. Have you noticed in this world, people that generally are lost are completely oblivious to how lost they are? I mean, up is down, left is right, good is evil, evil is good. Completely, it's a mystery to them. Why? We would think a man and a woman are the ones who should be married together. Or why we should dare teach a child that they're either a boy or a girl. I mean, this stuff is so, to believers who have a biblical worldview, this is not a mystery. Hallelujah. Amen. It's one thing for the world to live that way, but Christians have no business. Churches have no business. Ministers have no business teaching such nonsense. I mean, judgment is coming, right? Hallelujah. And it means visions and dreams. These are ways God can speak to us and reveal to us mysteries. Because I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of things I do every day, and I have to inquire of the Lord. Father, what do I do about this? How do I treat this? What do I do about this? What's your word say? Sometimes it's wait. Sometimes there's an instant answer. Sometimes I don't hear an answer. It's like, okay, let's hold on this. Wait, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it needs to pat. You're constantly inquiring of him. It's another thing Dr. Jackson taught about, I heard him teach on, is the renewing of the mind process and how you're literally constantly checking with God all day. He narrowed it down to seconds. How often our thoughts are returning to him. When you think about someone who's addicted to drugs or pornography or some demonic vice, how they're just driven. You see these people out here that they allow to live in the streets on drugs and encourage it even. And they're out there half naked digging in the dirt for what? They're out of their minds, right? Well, we can take that same energy and focus it on Jesus and our relationship with him and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. I just can't get enough. I need to know more. I need to receive more. I need to have more God and less of me. Right? I'm desperate for this answer. You know, turn to fasting and prayer and in the word and study and all these kind of things. Why? Because we're a disciple of Jesus. I need more light on this. I need the light to be brighter. Sometimes I come out and I've got this little lamp that sits on the desk and I don't want to light up the whole house. So I have this little portable lamp, but it's also sometimes the battery gets low. I'm like, why am I squinting? Because it needs to be charged up. It needs to be recharged. Somebody say, stay charged up. Right? And the word hid, when it says hid from ages to come, means to conceal or to keep secret. Yesterday's Torah portion was about the story of Joseph and the day he revealed himself. How many know his brothers didn't know who he was? And the dream that he had, they thought was foolishness. But there came a day when he was the man that saved them and all his household and all the land of Egypt and all Canaan. And the rabbi, Joseph Shulam, said the parallel there is that's who Jesus is. Right now, to the world, he's concealed. He's hidden. But there's going to come a day where he puts his foot down on the Mount of Olives. And he is revealed to his brothers that reject him, Jews that maybe some haven't received him as Lord, and to the whole world. He's not going to be concealed much longer. So why, I ask, should the church conceal him? Hide him in the four walls of a church or in our closet or in our little space? Oh, don't talk about that. Shut up about that. Be quiet about that. No, get loud about it. Shout about it, dance about it, praise about it, talk about it. He was talking about that too, Dr. Jackson. He said, the more you talk about him and share him and speak about him, the stronger you get. He's talking about the thing, literally, that our brains are secreting chemicals to help us be healthier and stronger. It's like, wow. Why? Because I'm getting my mind off me. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody say, let the light shine. Don't conceal him. Don't keep him secret. He didn't tell you to keep him a secret. Hallelujah. It amazes me how many, even churches in some cases, want to keep him a secret. Shh, let's have our little meeting. It's like, no. We loose the spirit of evangelism on this place. Take the word out, shout it, proclaim it, pray it, say it, speak it, shine the light. And I love the word now. It means, now means at this very moment. Did you know he could return now at this very moment? At this very moment, heaven is preparing for his return. Hallelujah. So at this very moment, we should be ready for his return, right? Somebody say, always on ready. Ready to go and ready to preach. Ready to go and ready to share. Hallelujah, amen. And the word manifest means to make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown, to manifest whether by words or deeds or in any other way. Somebody say, that's where the Holy Ghost takes over, man. The Holy Spirit will show you ways to shine that you didn't know you could shine. Because it's really him shining through us. We just got to let him out of the box. Isn't that what happened in Acts chapter 2? The whole city heard them. What is this? We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost. And thousands got saved that day. The church became strong, right? To make actual and visible, realized, to make known by teaching. It's important that we get our teaching in every day. That's why we plug into the Word every day. Here's some anointed teaching. Let me say that again. Anointed teaching. Not just teaching. That's why I like victory. Hallelujah. To show oneself, to appear, to become known, to be plainly recognized. Man, we were up there at the hospital again, my brother, and the guy in the bed next to him. Now, this isn't bragging on me. It's bragging on Jesus. But he said, you know, the minute you started talking, I knew you were a preacher. I'm here to encourage my brother, right? He's like, and he was a Christian. But see, the thing is, it wasn't a secret to him. Somebody say, let it out. Just let him out. The world is very comfortable being who they say they think they are. Why shouldn't I be? Very comfortable being who I am. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thoroughly understood. I love that. Who and what one is. How many know the world should know who a Christian is and what one is? And the church ought to know who and what a Christian is. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. And the word known means to know, to certify, to declare, to make known, give to understand. I mean, how else are they going to hear if we're shutting up about it? You think he's going to just manifest in front of them? There's stories of that. I've heard in Islam, there's stories of Jesus appearing to people and just, man, they're changed. But we can't just rely on that. Amen. We can't rely on an angel to come. Because the devil also is a fallen angel. Glory to God. So we're the one. Somebody say, I'm the one. I'm the one. And if I share a word, it might just open them up in their spirit and they get saved. They give their life to Jesus. They come back to him. What a glorious thing, right? And then the word glory means very appearance, means honor, praise, worship. Man, the Lord is on me to be spending more time in praise and worship. I mean vocally, not listening to it, but actually singing. I'm singing. Christmas movie reference. Just sing about him. You don't have to be a great singer. Just let it come out. Sing, worship, praise, glory to God. It means splendor. What are you doing? You're bringing the glory of God on the scene. Oh, isn't that what every situation needs? Is the glory of God to manifest. So as we praise him, as we sing, as we worship, as we do what he says to do, the glory of God comes on the scene. I'm going a little long, but I wasn't here last week, all right? So. Oh. It means brightness. When the angel appeared to those shepherds, it was bright. And Rick Renner taught me that the Bible doesn't say those angels sang anything. It says they praised God. He said, that doesn't mean angels can't sing or they may have sung. But I started thinking about it more being like some of these football games. You know, when they just come out and they are fired up and they are shouting. Amen. Glory to God. And it was bright. Light from heaven, man. It means judgment. It means magnificence, excellence. I love preeminence. It means God is the supreme authority. When we're praising God, we're declaring he is the supreme authority over whatever crazy situation I'm facing right now. Bring the glory on the scene. It means grace. It means the most glorious condition. Hallelujah. Most exalted state. Of that condition with God the Father in heaven to which Christ was raised after he had achieved his work on earth. Somebody say glory to God, right? And all, by the way, all these notes came from Blue Letter Bible app. And they're right from the concordance, but what a great resource Blue Letter Bible app is. In other words, I'm not winging it here. Oh, that sounds good. No, these are actual definitions. More to chew on and meditate on, right? And the word hope, this is really where we want to rest our case today, right? The word hope. Expectation of good. Pastor Steve, things are getting worse. It's getting darker. It's getting worse. It's getting harder. Somebody say, put your hope in him. My hope is in him. Expectation of good. Joyful and confident expectation, the author of hope, or he who is its foundation. So see, this isn't just wishing, positive mental outlook. This is the reason why, because the foundation of my hope is God, it's Jesus himself. Hallelujah. To anticipate with pleasure, faith. Somebody say faith. And then I got this definition finally out of dictionary.com, the word expect. And this comes back to kind of wrapping it up with Mary, Christ in you. Somebody say Christ in me, right? To look forward to, the word expect means to look forward to. It's good to ask ourselves every day, what am I looking forward to? And that doesn't have to be some grandiose thing. It could just be having dinner with my family tonight, watching a movie. What am I looking forward to? Have your list. We're going to pray on Vision Day for the things God's put in our heart to believe for. But man, always have things we're looking forward to in God. To look for with reason or justification. I love this. To anticipate the birth of. Something is birthing in our lives. Vision, callings, healings, revelations, instructions, strategies, and territories from God, I say, are being birthed. Amen. We are conceiving things by the Holy Ghost. And that's, I believe, one of the reasons why the devil wants us to get so inwardly focused on ourselves, is because all those things are so somebody else can come into the kingdom and be born again and be saved. Glory to God. And the word that the Lord gave me at the beginning of this month, I just wrote it down in pencil here. I was praying and interceding. And he just said the words, without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. Doubt is what casts shadows, darkness. But Jesus is the light. Hallelujah. So whatever God is birthing in your heart, just say, without a shadow of a doubt, I have it. I have it. Woman who is pregnant, she knows, without a shadow of a doubt, I am going to give birth to some amazing human being. Without a shadow of a doubt. Let's pray. Let's all stand up and close her up here. Hallelujah. Pastor Shelley's probably like, Steve, come on. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank him. Lord, we thank you for your words today. We thank you for the glory of God, the anointing of God, Christ who is in us, the hope of glory. We receive it today, Lord. We receive your callings. We receive revelations. We receive healings. We receive insights and instructions, strategies, and territories from you, Father. We conceive these things by faith in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And we just say this. Everybody say, shine, Jesus, shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We commit our lives to you, Father. And we thank you for sending Jesus to shine to us and to shine through us. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, say amen. Amen, amen and amen.